committee, well, actually, it's a work group, but at this point.
We're official.
You are official.
As of 5 minutes.
Oh, we in session.
We'll call a conference committee together for Senate File 1724. And it is a large document that has several licensing provisions in it. It's the department's licensing bill. And they didn't pass it last year, so they'd like to pass it this year. And most of it is in agreement, but there were four amendments that were offered on the House floor. I think some of them may be acceptable, others we may have to have some discussion about. So I'm going to call on House Counsel to walk us through the changes in the bill.
Madam Chair and members, we'll start with the HDA 362 amendment. On the floor, Representative Holberg deleted Section 14 of the Senate bill, which was identical language to this amendment. The difference is it required a physician's written directive that a child could be placed not on its back in a daycare center. So this changes the language to say that can come from a parent, not a physician.
Okay.
Otherwise, this is identical language as was in the Senate bill.
Maybe I can clarify, counsel, and for the senators, that Representative Holbert took that out. We didn't think that actually it would be taken out. It did pass pretty overwhelmingly, so we offered a subsequent amendment to add it back in, but with the word change to parent, because that was a subsequent amendment that was going to be offered by Representative Broad to change from physician to parent. So we just added that in, thinking it would be acceptable. And it was.
And it was quite a strong position.
It was huge.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any discussion here, and maybe we could have Jerry Kerber from the department come up and address it from the department's perspective. But before you start, what is our action? Do we have to adopt this, or is it considered part of the document? Or do we have to adopt what are all similar first, or how do we work on that? What is the procedural thing to do here?
Madam Chair and members, I'm Jerry Kerber from the licensing division at the Department of Human Services. The issue about whether a parent gives consent or whether a physician gives consent somehow to a child sleeping on a position other than on the child's back, our preference had been that it would be a physician's order that would be required in those cases. Kind of what happens here is when there have been a number of studies that have shown that when children die of SIDS, there are certain characteristics that are associated with those commonly, and some of the other characteristics you'll notice are in the bill too: fluffy blankets, not having mattresses close to the edge of the crib, and things of that nature. But certainly, having kids sleep on their back, having infants sleep on their back, decreases the risk of SIDS. Certainly, there are some times when that may not be in the child's best interest, but our preference would be, because of the consequences that are so severe here, that there would be a physician making that call rather than a parent. And understanding that that can be controversial in some cases, the bill now stands as the parent is making that decision, and our analysis was we should probably take it. Not protest that. There were very strong positions about that on the House floor. Who should be making decisions about what's in the best interest of children? A lot of people believe very strongly that a parent is in that best position. And so we're kind of up against some other issues here. And while we consider this to be sort of almost a health care issue that's dealt with by child care providers, we were okay with taking what we've got here and just moving forward.
I think that Mr. Kerber was also stating that doesn't prohibit a particular child care provider from having stricter requirements, such as the requirement that a physician's note is required to place a child on its stomach. Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the other issue that, although it didn't come up really on the floor, talking to individuals, unfortunately, not all of our children have access to a physician. And that becomes a hardship for some parents. And if they are wanting to rear their child a different way and having to find a provider that will accept them, that they'll be able to pay for, is sometimes difficult.
Okay. Is there anybody else that wants to speak on this issue? Then,
Madam Chair, just if you want to try to be more inclusive, you could actually insert or position after parents and kind of cover both, and then some would. Give some flexibility, and if it's a problem that it'll be solving, I won't offer it, but might be a way to show a respectable position. Can we move that? Is that a good idea, or is it not worth it?
My recommendation is it'd be fine the way it is, but maybe Senate Council has different suggestions.
I think I won't offer it.
And since this is part of the bill, we don't have to adopt this. Okay. So,
Let me clarify. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Thank you. Since it's part of the bill, but it's not part of the bill with respect to the parent word, so we do need to affirmatively adopt the amendment.
Well, actually,
we're working off of the House language.
We are, okay.
Amended to the Senate bill.
Good. Thank you.
Ms. Aves?
The next amendment is the HDA 511. That was offered by Representative Slocum. This is part of the bill, but yesterday during the Health Occupations Licensing Committee, this was added as an amendment to the committee report and is now included in that bill. Whether you want to keep it in this bill or just allow it to travel in the other bill is the decision for you.
Madam
Chair,
discussion?
I would move that the House magnanimously moves to reject this amendment since it's our vote.
There was a Swigum amendment, so you can take it as a policy matter or a personality matter.
So Representative Lesh moves that the language that, I'm not sure how you identify this in the current bill, but the language that was HDA 511, or okay, Representative Lesh moves that in the unofficial engrossment 1724, lines 9.20 through 9.31, section 3 be deleted. Any discussion? Then on that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails.
Madam Chair, the next amendment is S1724A1, and Representative Walker offered that amendment. It might be best to have her explain it.
Yes.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Aves, this is actually the amendment that Madam Chair, you have an amendment that we need to add to it. For senators that aren't familiar with this or haven't been talked to, there are consumers that have different hours of supervision, and there are some consumers that are able to be through the day not have any supervision. However, because of our licensing and our laws, that at night they still have to have every minute of the night covered. And there are situations where, for example, in an apartment building, there might be three units, and under law, you have to have somebody in each unit. Hoping to give some flexibility to consumers so that their money's not just being used for awake or sleep night staff that wouldn't have to be if not needed. However, the department had some difficulty slightly with this language, and so, Madam Chair, you have an amendment to this amendment. Or
and I'm going to ask Representative Lesh to offer the amendment.
Just so I'm clear, Madam Chair, so that this, what we're speaking of, the amendment is coded S1724A3, is that it?
A11.
Oh, it is this one. Okay. I would so move this amendment, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair and members, just one explanation. In addition to deleting the existing section, which Representative Walker added in, putting in a new modified section, this amendment also deletes Section 46, which was an amendment by Representative Tao related to disqualification. And I just wanted to let you know that this amendment also deletes that section.
Madam Chair, why don't we divide that?
Or we could just leave it for discussion at this point.
Hold on line 31 of the amendment.
Senator Higgins wishes to divide the amendment. And so at this time, we will, we're just referring to lines 1.1 through 1.30.
Madam Chair?
And 1.32.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can somebody say in English what, you know, 1.26 to 1.3 actually means? Because it's really written poorly as far as I can tell.
I'm going to call on Mr. Kerbers to explain the amendment.
Sorry, Mr. Kerbers.
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, what the original amendment did, or Representative Walker's amendment, as you can see in the bill on page 20, it addressed an overnight supervision issue. There, more significant than that, however, was the repealer that went with it. And I think, based on the discussions that have ensued since the amendment went on the floor, I think everybody is of the understanding, and maybe some nods would come from behind me, that it was a little broader than maybe was intended. There's a provision in the law that allows for providers to get variances to the if they can come up with an alternative overnight supervision plan. And we've given 30 of those variances since that provision went into law in 2003. And so we entertain those continuously. And where providers have good ideas about how they can provide supervision to people overnight in foster care, we work with them very closely to do that. there was one case that we became aware of where, because the current law says that a county must make the recommendation, apparently the provider ran into a county employee who was not very interested in doing that. In this particular case, it involved using electronic monitoring, having sensors in the apartment and some cameras, and it's kind of a new and exciting kind of way to maybe address some supervision issues, and there doesn't always have to be a compromise in the level of care that's being given to people, and sometimes it's actually enhanced. So what we're trying to do with this amendment is to make it more clear, is to not repeal the existing law that was pretty painfully arrived at through ongoing discussions with providers and advocates, to make sure that if there's not going to be somebody supervising people in adult foster care at night, then really the needs of the individuals are being met, and is really what the law is based on. Is if you look at the amendment lines, probably 5 through 25 there. What we're trying to do here is to make sure that in case there's somebody at the county level who is not certain that the legislature was anticipating the use of technology as an alternative to overnight supervision, that got inserted on line 17 and 18. And then also as a comfort, if a provider runs into a county employee who's just not willing to forward the request to Human Services, then they can contact the Department of Human Services directly and ask for a review of the situation. That review will not mean that we will override the county, because counties play a key role in this, but we will engage in a conversation with the counties and review this situation. And we'll be able to talk about how it compares or contrasts to other variances that have been granted to similar situations around the state.
Senator Fischbach?
I guess maybe, Madam Chair, if I could just get some clarification. As I'm looking at this, Mr. Kerber, you talked about a repealer. As I look at the A1, there's no repealer in the A1 as it was adopted. Now, maybe it's in the bill, and I was just trying to find it in the bill.
Madam Chair, on 1.9, that's adding 245A.11
Okay, so it's later on in the building.
Right.
Yeah, and then in the A11, on line 1.32, we're deleting that provision from the other section.
Okay, so we unreview it.
Yeah.
But then, and Madam Chair, Mr. Gerber, maybe you can just take a minute and explain from the language that I see, and as I try to kind of look at what's in the bill, what the original amendment was, this, then the A11 moves it to really the use of technology. This, I thought, was this, the original amendment, the A1, it looks as though it's a little more, you know, there's a little more leeway, you know, to be creative if that's the case. But this almost looks like it really tightens it down that, you know, you have to use some kind of technology, is the way I just trying to look at this and look at these on the fly, kind of, that's what I'm feeling like we're moving towards, as opposed to this more broad language.
Mr. Madam Chair and Senator Fischbach, kind of two things. One is the existing Subdivision 7 language that's being reinstated here applies to any scenario that people might come up with. And providers come up with some very good ideas about how they're going to provide these services. And it isn't limited to the technology. Where we're looking at what was behind the amendment that was brought forward by ARM, and maybe Bruce Nelson could speak to this, there were a couple scenarios that do involve technology. The issue at hand that was prompting the amendment to the law was based on a couple of situations that were involving the use of technology as an alternative overnight supervision thing. And so as we tried to figure out how can we solve the current problem at hand by not over having all kinds of unintended consequences, we tried to focus this a little bit, the department working with ARM on this to see how we could do it. And I think everybody's kind of in agreement that this is addressing the issue at hand. And we do grant, you know, as I said, 30 of these variances.
Mr. Gerber, you absolutely did narrowed it down only to technology. Maybe if you didn't mean to do that, I can fix it really quickly. But you narrowed it down to technology by putting in the phrase to utilize technology as a component of a plan for alternative overnight.
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, the paragraph C is what you're saying is accurate about paragraph C. Paragraph A and B are kind of any scenario, as I was describing. Paragraph C, where we're putting in a new provision that allows the provider to ask for additional review, is limited to those technology issues. And that's only because those are the situations where it's been brought to our attention that there was a problem.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Kerber, you've just talked all the way around in a circle now.
Madam Chair, Senator Higgins.
You're adding technology on 1.17 and 18 to the alternative method, right?
Which may include technology.
May
not
include,
only,
yes.
But it may.
Okay. Then down on 1.26 to 1.230, you just narrowed it back down to the technology, the people who request to use technology may use the commissioner's review in the absence of a county recommendation. Is that what you meant to do?
Yes. That
so it's only the technology. So if they had any other way where they were proposing an alternative method for the overnight that didn't use technology, they still couldn't come to the commissioner in absence of a county recommendation. Is that what you wanted to do?
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, that's what we did want to do,
okay.
And the reason we wanted to do that is because that's the only indication of a problem that we had.
And
where
Madam
there
Chair,
are
my next question is, Representative Walker, is this what you meant to do?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Higgins. Actually, to be honest, this was the first time that I did look at the language. I knew that there was a problem. Yesterday afternoon, and my reply to Ms. McNerney was to tell ARM to fix it, and and about 11:30-ish, I ran into Mr. Nelson and Mr. Kerber, and I was instructed that they had come up with a compromise. The other piece to know, before I had offered the amendment itself, I was assured that the department was going to be taking some time to be looking at some other areas of interest to not just ARM, but the providers themselves over the interim and maybe coming back next session. But maybe Mr. Nelson can follow up too.
Mr. Nelson, yeah. Would you like to respond?
Madam Chair, Representative Walker, and members of the conference committee, yes, you're right. We are now engaged in a fairly wholesale and comprehensive look with counties, advocates, the department, in looking at ways to provide innovative services that include breaking down barriers that might be regulatory, and in looking at new ways of doing things, and specifically technology. So as we're beginning to move in these directions, one of the barriers that we discovered was folks on the county level sometimes were uncomfortable with looking at these kinds of innovations and pilots. Hence, the language on lines 1.17 wanted to instruct the counties that when you're looking at the possibility of doing a variance, do please look at the use of technology. Then when we get down to lines 1.26, we didn't want to open up to the department looking at every single variance. And in doing that, I think what would happen is counties would say, oh, well, the department's going to do it anyway, and it kind of takes them out of the game. So we wanted to limit it there so that as folks are moving through with new out-of-the-box types of things, that and the counties are comfortable with it, the commissioner then, and Mr. Kerber and other people in the department could take a look at it and include the county in that review. So I think this is a good compromise and moving forward.
It might be just compensation. Sorry, no, we're under call. We're trying to figure out what it is.
Did I talk in circles, Senator Hagan?
Senator Hagan.
No, you didn't. Mr. Kerber, I apologize. It just seemed to be so different from what you started out with that I was struggling with it. No, it's fine by me if that's what you were
for now,
trying to do.
Madam Chair.
Knowing that we need to revisit it next year.
Representative Walker, okay with you.
Okay.
Representative Abler, did you?
No, I think okay. The county has.
Ms. Brewington.
Thank you. I'm Claudia Brewington. I work with MICA, the Minnesota Intercounty Association. This was the first we'd heard about it as it came up on the floor, and then here again. And it looks like it's very tightly drafted and applies only to technology. And without having had the time to check with our county folks to find out how often something like this would come up. On its face, it looks like it's a reasonable compromise because it is very, very narrow. I think our concern would be that, again, the counties are charged with looking at these plans and doing the oversight, and this, in effect, basically says if somebody in the county doesn't like what's happening, they can go to the commissioner and say, we want a review. Now, I don't know how often this happens, or is this now being put in statute? Is this going to bring more people asking for a variance in this area? And it's something that we haven't had time to discuss because it wasn't heard or brought up in committee, and here it is kind of coming up without us having a chance at the county level to really run it through and find out what it will do. So I do, it is better to more narrowly focus it, but I have some reservation about what the impact will be at the county as this folds out.
Okay. So, any further discussion on this issue then? It appears then what we're really voting on, and I don't know if we need to make an amendment to this, but it's the A11 amendment minus line 1.32.
131.
31, I'm sorry. Any further discussion? Then on the amendment, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. That leaves the second half of the amendment, which is line 1.31, and I see Representative Howe. Yeah. If you'd like to come and tell us, and I don't know if this means it.
Madam Chair, that deals with the last amendment. that was added on the House floor, Representative Powell's amendment, so this can all be folded into one discussion of it. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I encourage you not to take this out. I'll explain why. A constituent of mine 10 years ago was involved in a knife fight and over a boy with her girlfriend in the car, and she was charged with assault. And since then, she has turned her life around, and she's working. She's been working at assisted nursing homes. She had set-asides before to work there. In 2005, we passed a couple new laws which disqualify her. If she stayed at her job, her old job, she could still be able to work. But she found a new job to pay a little bit more, so she left that job unknowingly that this law had gone into effect. So because of the new law, she had to go through a review process, and because of the new law, she couldn't get a set-aside anymore. She can't take the new job. She can't go back to her old job as well. And so this amendment that I put in will help her along with 29 other people in the state of Minnesota. And these are hardworking folks who are making 10 bucks an hour. Right now, her house, she's going in foreclosure right now, and she's a single mom with a teenage son. And so if you vote this out, you're putting a lot of hard burn on many of these people. So I would encourage the members not to take this out.
Representative Tao, we had similar discussion on the bill, on various portions of the bill in the Senate also. But it seems to be a very broad discussion and it involves a number of different sections that probably require more thoughtful consideration than an amendment that would be for a particular individual or even a subgroup of individuals. And so I have concerns about keeping this in the bill and believe that there is work that needs to be done on the statute. But I would like to call on Mr. Kerber for his insight, too. Yes, Representative Lesch.
Representative Tao, two questions for you. First of all, you had stated, made a remark that I want to confirm, and perhaps Mr. Kerber can confirm it, but you had stated that if she had continued working at her then job prior to 2005 and had not left, that she would still be allowed to work there. It's my understanding that the changes in 2005 did not allow for grandfathering anyone in. Could you tell me, are you certain that that's accurate?
Representative Lesch, it's my understanding that I don't fully understand the set-aside procedure as well. And it's my understanding that she already have a set-aside to work at that job, and so she's not going through a review process. And so maybe Mr. Kerber could explain that is a little bit better. I mean, if I misspoke, you know, I didn't intentionally try to.
Well, I just want to clarify, Madam Chair, but Representative Town, maybe Mr. Kerber could clarify that then. But my second question for you is, you had told a story about your constituent, and the reason you were offering this, you did have another amendment prepared that applied specifically to that constituent. Are you not interested in offering that today, then?
Well, Representative Lesch and members, as I move forward, I've been working on this issue since January. And as I move forward, I think you'll be wrong because she knew me that I'd do one specific amendment for her and the other 29 people who didn't know me, who are in similar situation, won't get the same support or the same benefit of the legislature. And so with that piece, it's very hard for me to just do one for herself.
On the other hand, it's a lot easier for you to vouch for one individual than it is the other 29 who might be slipping through the cracks.
Well, Madam Chair, these people already have set-asides. And essentially, the set-aside just follow them to their new job, and the new place of work could decide whether to hire them or not. so.
May I just add a final comment, Madam Chair? That being that, being a prosecutor, I'm in the position of having to review many of these people's situations, whether they're looking for subsequent expungements or what have you. And in this case, you were able to independently review and come to terms with the just nature of a set-aside or continuing kind of favor to an individual. You would say to those other 29 people, if it in fact is 29 or in a similar situation, that I think is the pivotal word, similar situation. We don't really know. We don't know the stories of those other 29 people. We have no idea. And not just me as a prosecutor, but me as an elected official, then I have to consider that if one of those 29 comes through and you see the personal story of them and everyone agrees on, oh yeah, we certainly didn't mean to extend it to them. That is my concern, but I'm not one to question whether or not you're familiar with their stories or not. I just want a closer look at it.
Senator Higgins.
Chair, and I had a similar situation with a woman I know. I don't know her husband, but she called and said that her husband was a felon, but he had done his time, and he had been working in a nursing home for 15 years. And you probably know her, too.
No, I know him.
Oh, you know him. Okay. And then he got a promotion. And at that time, they did a background check on him and then disqualified him because of the changes that we had made. And he has 15 years of work down the drain. And now he can't go back in that same field where he has all this experience. So he's probably one of the other 29,
yeah,
would be my guess. But we really, I think, need to be sensitive to the fact that when people come back and they have done their time and they want to be good citizens and they find a good job, they can help support their family. And then this happens to them. It's just plain not right. And I'm sorry, I probably voted to change it back when, but it's one of those consequences that happens when you do something illegal and you get caught, you have to pay for what you did. But at a certain point, we as policymakers, I think, have to think about the fact that we're either going to figure out a way that people can be gainfully employed, take care of their families, or we're going to pay for them on the social service rolls. That's for us to decide.
I just want to interrupt for a minute and say that we have 5 minutes left in this room. We potentially could finish up this bill, but otherise we will have to resume.
Well, Madam Chair, just vote the amendment down, then we could go ahead.
Representative Abler.
I'm sorry, the governor doesn't like the ability. I mean, I agree. Get those to your speech, and I would vote as such. But there's the only comfort I have, and I'm really sorry about these unnecessary disqualifications. Make a speech in a different conference committee about that. But there is some comfort. There's a background study project on page 76 to at least begin the process, and maybe the governor will accept that. So.
And I'm sure we also, in the public safety bill that we've all passed, we have a study on collateral consequences.
That's
well.
It. Yes, true.
Yes.
That's an interesting.
Mr.
We better move on.
Madam Chair, members, was there a specific question about this?
About your reaction or your response to a request to keep this in the bill or to even change it for one individual?
Well, it's the issue at stake here is the result of the governor's 2005 kind of broad sex offender bill, as it was referred to. There were a number of changes to a number of laws that sort of got a lot tougher on sex offenders in general and some other people as well, some other serious crimes. And in that bill, there were a number of background study provisions that limited the commissioner's discretion to make decisions, and there were a number of other provisions that didn't get adopted by the conference committee. But this is one that did. And so what this really does is that it says that people who are disqualified because of the most serious crimes that people can commit in Minnesota, for those people there is not a reconsideration process that there had been before. And so since then, we have disqualified, in fiscal year 06, there were 414 individuals who were disqualified. Of those 414, as Representative Tao said, 30 of those people were individuals who had previously received a set-aside of their disqualification, but now they had moved from one employer to another. As long as somebody remains with the same employer, a set-aside that had been granted before July 1st of 2005 continues on. The law says that we can only rescind a set-aside if we have new information about the person that gives rise to concern about the risk of harm. So if people do stay put, they can stay put.
Representative Lesch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Kerber, then why was it that when Senator Higgins' constituent got a promotion, they were with the same employer, and boom, he's out?
Madam Chair and Representative Lesch, that's a very good question. And I think if the promotion you're talking about was with the same employer, that may not have really been a proper interpretation by the employer, whoever was involved in this. Sometimes what we've seen with this is that there are employers who repeat background studies on people because they've misplaced their records, perhaps, or they're not certain anymore. But for one reason or another, they initiate a new study. We look at this, it's a new study, and assume that there must have been some kind of break in service. And now the person is coming back to work when, in fact, there wasn't. And there have been a couple of cases where we've clarified that with the employer, that, you know, you did not need to do a new background study, and therefore the previous set-aside is still in place for this person. You know, let's not act on this. Now, I wasn't aware of that case it was a nursing home, as you said. And those, the nursing homes are, of course, licensed by the health department. We do the background study. We do the initial part of that background study, which would be responding to the employer's request for a background study. And we do that, and we would have issued that disqualification. But at the time that the reconsideration was processed, ideally that would have been noticed that it's the same employer. And so there was really not a need for a new background study.
Okay. And Madam Chair, I think it was the way it was explained to me, they kind of asked for the background check as a mistake.
Okay.
But it happened, and then they weren't willing to.
My preference would be that we vote in favor of this section of the amendment, line 1.31. I am in, and I apologize to Representative Tao, but I also think that it's important for us to complete the studies and to come back in a more thoughtful way with the language going through the appropriate committees and pass something that is more encompassing next year.
Madam Chair, just two additional comments I may make. It's certainly the department's position that this section of the bill be removed. The governor's office continues to feel very, very strongly that this section of the law should not be changed as from what it had been in 05. And so that's the department's position. But as Representative Abler mentioned, there's going to be a review of this entire law, largely the result of the discomfort in the Senate Judiciary Committee by the collateral consequences.
Okay, we do have to move along. Is there any further necessary discussion on this section?
Madam Chair, the procedure of the vote. Actually, since this is our conference, there'd be a House side and a Senate side. We just didn't do a side by side.
We are working off of the
language. We wouldn't have to really vote no on our side. We could just not have two votes on your side to adopt the House language.
No, actually, we have to vote to remove it from the bill. Okay.
Sorry, sir.
So, a yes vote would be a vote to approve line 1.31, which would remove that language from the current bill. All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. We have one other piece of one other piece of business, and if nobody kicks us out of here,
I'll quickly do it, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, it came to my attention a couple days ago that this particular provision on page 20 didn't officially make it out of the House Finance Committee. It wasn't adopted in any of the omnibus bill or any other bills coming out. And there were some members that had some difficulties with it. However, instead of moving it out, had not had an opportunity to talk to all of the interest parties. And this is language that came to me, and so I think that we just quickly need to hear from the folks that brought it.
Okay.
I can summarize. Everybody's happy that it's the best.
I'm sorry, this is Amendment A3 to the bill, page 20. It extends the effective day.
Yeah.
It basically, it helps out the counties.
What it does is
not the amendment, the language in the bill.
Just a minute, please.
Sorry.
What this does is that there was some language that was added in both the House and the Senate. They are identical, but what they do is that they change some fees that were traditionally picked up by the county to the facilities, and this poses a problem. And Mr. Nelson is going to tell us what the problem is, but what basically we're going to do is adopt language, if you're in agreement, that will just give them a year to adjust. Okay.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Bruce Nelson from ARM. I don't have a copy of the amendment, but I think I know what it does.
It says this section is effective August 1st of 2008.
Yeah. This was a provision that it did two things. It was added on the Senate floor, along with a few other things. But a particular interest in this section is it allowed the counties to recoup the cost for background studies from providers, and also the costs relative to the Rule 203 licensing implementation. This is a state license that's implemented by the counties. The cost picked up by counties to a significant extent, if not all. There are about 4,000 licenses that this is done for. The bills were heard as Representative Walker was saying, in the two finance divisions and not included in the omnibus bills. They do clearly have as Representative Walker said, a local fiscal impact. We agree with the counties that this should not be a county, something the counties pay for. It's a state license that should be paid for other ways. To shift it to the count to the providers, it's a cost that's not now built into the rates of providers. And so the net effect is, should the legislature pass a COLA this year, and if this were fully implemented, and Ms. Brewington will probably say it won't be fully implemented, and I believe her, but if it were, it would have an effect of significantly diminishing the amount of COLA for these providers. What we're engaged in now, as I was talking about in the earlier amendment, as part of the discussions we're having with the department, with counties and advocates, is to look at redundancies and rules, to look at things that are inappropriate extra costs to in the system to providers and to counties, and to come back to the legislature with something that addresses this issue specifically as in context with a lot of others as well. So by delaying it a year, it allows the time to do that analysis and come back to you. And it's a compromise, Madam Chair, that neither side likes, so it's got to be a good one.
Thank you. All I really want to know, and I appreciate that, Mr. Nelson, I simply want to know, because this is the first time I saw this language, if this was a negotiated agreement between yourself and the counties, and if this is the compromise language.
Madam Chair and Representative Lesh, no, it is not a negotiated agreement.
Okay, Ms.
Brewington,
would you like to make a response?
Very quickly, Claudia Brewington, MICA. I did talk very briefly with Madam Chair about this provision after it had been brought forward. It is not something that the counties had time to really look at. Again, This just means that for another year we'll be carrying the costs on this. And this was heard in the policy committee on the House side in Representative Thiessen's committee. It was sent to the Finance Committee. We didn't feel like it needed to go there because there is no state fiscal impact. The impact, it continues to be on the county. It is right now. And over in this, in the Senate, Senator Soxall picked the language up as it was amended over in the House, and it was heard in the full Finance Committee on this side. So it did get heard in committees on both sides, and it was passed on both floors. So it is something that we feel is important. We're asking just to be able to do this because it is something most licenses that serve the same populations, DT&H licenses, those sorts of things, they're pretty much standard across the board, about $500 a year, and we're asking for the same privilege to pay for that the state collects. I understand that it is something that's a consideration from the other side, but this language has been out there for a while, and it's the will of the committee.
Yeah, let me also state that I got a call from Senator Berglund, who chairs the Health and Human Service Budget Division. She states she was unaware of this, although on the floor she did agree to it, but I think she didn't realize the impact of what she was agreeing to, and has requested that if we go forward with this, that we pull it back into the Finance Committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Boston.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That actually, when I stated earlier that folks wanted to pull it out, members wanted to take it out on the House floor, there was a reason why it didn't come out of House Finance. Trying to find some middle ground, understanding, talking to the counties today and the hardship that that they're facing, wanted to find some middle ground and thought that the year, I didn't know if this is exactly how it was going to come out, but giving some time to look at it. But there was a reason why it didn't come out of House Finance.
So my recommendation is that we adopt the amendment as a middle ground. I don't know if there's any further discussion on that.
I have a question.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just so I can understand, I'm not totally clear on the request of Senator Berglund on that. She's stating what? She's making a request that what goes back into?
That because it was not reviewed, that the language that changes the fee structure so that it is assessed against the providers rather than against the county, that language be pulled and sent back to the full finance, or to the Health and Human Service Finance Committee.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Is that, maybe it's just me, I haven't been around here that long, but isn't it kind of late to be asking for that, or do we routinely decide in the conference committee when we pretty much have everything else worked out, and one member suddenly or non-member suddenly realizes, oh yeah, I forgot to look at that. I want it sent back. Do we do that often?
I think we can choose to do that out of courtesy to the chair.
Well, Madam Chair, I think so. Would she be comfortable just for her comfort level? Would this language make her comfortable with a one-year deal?
I'm hoping so.
Because actually,
it gives her a year to review it if
this
we need to.
Senate fund?
Yes.
She would talk to her leadership and would say, don't bring the report up on the floor. That's what would be her answer, and then it would come back to us and we would do whatever. That would be the procedural thing. She can't call this bill back anywhere except just not to be brought up on the floor.
Right.
Because you can't report a conference report.
Mr. Nelson is in agreement, and I think that would be her concern. So. Senator Higgins.
I apologize, I forget who, said this was 4,000 licenses we're talking about at up to $500 a license.
Was it?
And this is a transfer from who paying it to
the
who
county.
Paying it.
The county does the licensing and the review, and they do not get reimbursed. So they absorb the cost of doing the licensing.
Okay.
When the state is the reviewer, they assess the facilities for the licensing. They don't have to absorb the cost of it. The county is saying, well, why should we be penalized? Because if the counties have to do the licensing, which the state requires, why should they have to absorb the cost of the licensing?
Madam Chair, and
Representative Bush.
Thank you, and Senator Higgins, I think any fiscal note on this or whatever impact is not going to say 4,000 times $500 because the average, I'm not sure if it was said here today, but the average I think is 150 that the counties are levying now against them. So it would not be as much as that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am in agreement with the counties. I don't think the counties should be paying this. But right now, I think Mr. Nelson also has a piece of being very accurate too. 150 sounds like pennies, but when you are already, even if you're a for-profit and if you are having difficulty staying afloat right now, that's dollars that unfortunately would be coming out of somewhere else, and we're talking about our consumers. And I think that's where Senator Berglund would have the most problem with it, not knowing what type of impact it would have on the consumers themselves, not necessarily the provider.
Representative Aguilar.
Well, I really appreciate that, but I think in the interest of being pragmatic today, I think this buys off a year, and so if it's the will of anybody, this can, isn't there a task force going on looking at this stuff, and part of the recommendation could be to have someone else do this for whatever price, and it could be a package coming up next session, it sounds like, with the licensing rules, fees, task force they have going. So I think it's a fair compromise. Nobody's very happy with it, but I think we should do it. Look and move on.
Any further discussion? Did anybody offer this amendment to Representative Walker?
Madam Chair, I'll offer the A3 amendment.
So on the A3 amendment, any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. I think we have to adopt the conference committee report, not a motion, but of 1724 as amended.
I would so move, Madam Chair.
Motion. Any discussion? Then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The bill passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for
your work. Can you tell the governor that we're not happy with the position on that thing? Is that fair to accept messages of triple up from you guys? There's a strong legislative will to controvert that.
Meeting adjourned.
I still don't know. I probably should offer the speech.